Hello and welcome back to the European Parliament in Brussels, where there's nervousness about the incoming US administration. It's not just Donald Trump's plans on Ukraine that are causing jitters, but also his pledge to slap tariffs on EU goods of at least 10%. Trump insists that the EU will have to pay a big price for not buying enough American exports. That could hit key industrial sectors hard, such as car manufacturing. And officials from the European Central Bank are now warning that the damage that the US tariffs could do would also impact economic growth in the Eurozone. Well, to talk more about all this, I'm joined by Lina Gálvez Muñoz, a Spanish MEP from the Socialists and Democrats, and she's a member of the Committee on Industry, Research and Energy, a substitute on the Committee on International Trade, and a member of the Delegation for Relations with the United States. Welcome to you.
Hello.
Also welcome here to Eva Maidel, a Bulgarian MEP from the European People's Party, who's vice chair of the Delegation for Relations with the United States. She's also a member of ITRE and a substitute on ECON, the Committee on Economic and Monetary Affairs. Welcome to you as well, Eva
Thanks
Maidel.
For having me.
So, Eva Maidel, in the plenary debate just after Donald Trump won, you said that the EU has to act immediately and actionably. There's no room for Europe to defer decisions. So what plans are actually being made right now on this question of tariffs and trade?
That's probably a question you should direct to the European Commission. But, however, as a parliamentarian, I sit in the Industry and Innovation Committee, as you've pointed out, and also the one on energy. I also, together with colleagues, we believe that the Commission should be immediately working on certain plans and preparing. To be honest, we are a bit more sober today than we were even a year ago or 2 years ago, which is a good thing. Europe has understood that it needs to stand on its own feet. We've understood that the hard way when it comes to energy dependence, also when it comes to defense and military preparedness. And now it's time to understand that also in economic and competitive terms, we need to be taking our own fate in our own hands. When I talk about action, it's not about waiting what a Trump administration would enforce or would do. We need to be prepared ourselves. And one way to prepare is first and foremost to strengthen our single market. And the reason why I say this is because only if we're economically strong, we'll be able to provide very convincing answers should there be an aggressive policy on tariffs or other economic policies that are quite aggressive on the European market.
Lina Gálvez, so when Trump says at least 10% tariffs, do you think it's just a starting position for negotiation rather than a blanket thing that he's definitely going to do?
Well, I think so. He said so many things back in 2016. Then he did some of them, others he didn't. So he will be transactional. He's a businessman. That's something we never should forget about him. So I think he will be very transactional, and one level will be narrative and another level will be exactly what he will be doing. So I think it will be more tailored, not just 10% for everything, and it will depend how you can give to me, how I can, what I can get or not. Everything will be more transactional. And I think in our case, we supposed to know that already. I agree with Eva that our response should be to have more Europe, to be more united. Probably it's not the best moment for that in this parliament, since we have more anti-European members now that we have sort of 8 years ago. But the time and the moment, it is now, and we have already, I mean, Trump started to put some tariffs in some of our products, and probably he will continue. But Biden has also been very tough on trade and protectionism. Just don't forget the Inflation Reduction Act. That was
right.
Not great for us.
When you look at the decision on that the EU took on Chinese electric car tariffs, it was a very divided EU. I mean, if it's that difficult to get the EU on board for Chinese tariffs, it's going to be very hard to find that kind of unity on Trump, don't you think?
When it comes to China, I think the first challenge is indeed to have all of the EU member states on board. But again, I think we've sobered up. It took us a long time to be able to impose those tariffs and also to be able to have a different stance on China. I don't say we currently have a renewed China policy, but in the past 2 years, there has been a shift, which was different to the many years before that. I think we would need to look on to China in a very sober way as well, irrespective of what the US is doing. They're our first and most important partner, so we should also be coordinating and talking to them on that topic. But China would be another topic where we need a plan that goes beyond the tariffs on e-vehicles, because it will take time. And we'll need to get everyone on board, whether it's about technological transfers or is another topic. We'll need to get tougher.
Do you think the EU needs to have a much clearer China plan in order to deal with Donald Trump on trade?
Yes, of course, and we need to have our own plan. I know now we have the Draghi report, we have the letter report, and there's a good route, let's say, a good way to follow. But we, in order to do all that, we need to be united, and we need to know what we want, and we need to make it possible, because all that is a very good goals, but we need, Draghi was saying that, four times the Marshall Plan financing. So it's a lot of money that we need for that. And for that, again, we need unity, and we need to build up more Europe. And yes, of course, we need to not to work in a short term, but also in a medium term, in a long term, and to work also with different scenarios, because the world is changing very fast, and multilateralism, that it is basic for our international trade and for our survival, it is now not very strong, because first the US does not want to maintain this multilateralism. They don't believe in WTO anymore.
Lina said something very important. She said, what do we want? And this is the sort of discussion that I've been trying to ignite here in Europe for quite a while. Because very often we do legislation, particularly in the technology sector, but I don't think we ask the bigger question, where do we want to get and what do we want as an outcome? Because if we talk about tech sovereignty, it is very difficult to have tech sovereignty if you do not own a certain amount of production of the most high-end semiconductors, for examples. And that's why in the past years we worked on the European Chips Act. But of course we need to do more, because we are still very much dependent on TSMC chips that are produced in Taiwan. So Europe has to wake up to the challenge of the South China Sea and be able, to find ways of how to work out with China, that currently is leading in some of the most cutting-edge technologies, even before the US, to understand for as Europeans, if we do not have a plan, if we do not know what we want, it will be very difficult to craft, whether it's tariff, to craft positions, to craft plans. Perhaps we need a European Council meeting that is dedicated on that actual topic of competitiveness. Yeah. This should not be the last item. Exactly. Yep. It cannot be the last item on the agenda that only two political leaders take part in.
Well, and also the global change, because it's tech sovereignty, obviously, but everything we need, and also where are our vulnerabilities?
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of vulnerabilities as well, because we grow up in a different world, very different than what is now, open, with these multilateral rules, very clear rules, and we were buying our energy, we were buying our technology, we were producing elsewhere, we were, even our defense was outsourced. So the world is very different now, so we really need to change and do it fast.
Lina Gavlis, just a question about another trade issue, which is very big in France at the moment. That's Mercosur, the EU-Latin America free trade agreement. We've seen this farmers' movement being reignited, actually, in France in opposition to what farmers fear is going to be unfair competition on beef products and so on. How major could this become as a kind of protest movement, do you think, not just in France, but perhaps other countries as well?
Well, it depends on how also we make the deal finally, if we do the deal, how we make the deal, how we make in order to be safe also for our producers in different aspects, especially in agriculture. And but also I think it would be a very good agreement because we are dependent on many things. And in Latin America, there are many raw materials that we need for our tech sovereignty and for our strategic autonomy and for our economic security. In G20, there were not much movement because obviously we don't have a trade commissioner going on, but we have seen some movement on the other side. In the Latin American side, obviously Brazil is now clearly in, but also Uruguay and even Argentina, that was saying no, sort of a few months ago, now is, with a more positive feeling towards Mercosur. So probably I'm positive that things could move in, but still it's slow.
Quick final comment on Mercosur from you, Eva.
Well, looking at it from the perspective of US-EU relations, I don't think that would anyway influence our relationship with the US necessarily. But I think it's an example of how Europe should be looking onto various other agreements, maybe with some Asian countries or even with the UK. I mean, we still need a better deal, so to say, as well as Africa. And the reason why I mentioned this is because should we be hit by the US with tariffs, not only we need to strengthen our single market and look inside to remove hurdles and make sure that we can operate better, make it easier for businesses, try to attract further investments, but we should also see with who else we could be doing deals, so to say.
We'll have to see what happens with that Mercosur deal, but thanks for this discussion to my two guests, Eva Maidel and Lina Galvez-Munoz. Thank you so much for watching us here on Talking Europe.